Good morning. Our reading this morning is from the book of Hebrews, chapter 9, reading verses 11 to 15. The blood of Christ. When Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not a part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but he entered the most holy place once for all by means of his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. The blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctify them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more, then, will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself unblemished to God, cleanse our consciences from acts that lead to death, so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, now that he has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Xanthi. So today we're talking about our front lines again. This is the fifth and final front line Sunday. Now, in talking about front lines, what we mean really is simply the place where, or places that we find ourselves every day, basically whenever we're not at church. So it might be our homes or our workplaces or school or college, or it might be our social settings or the gym or wherever we find ourselves when we're not at church. That's what we mean by our front lines. And you might remember these images of dots that we've been showing when we've been doing our front line Sundays. So here's the first one, and it shows the dots. I don't think it's coming up. Essentially, it's a block of dots, and a block of 100 grey dots, and then in the corner are a few red dots, and those symbolise when we come. There's our gathered church when we're those small dots together. But then the second image is where these dots are kind of spread around all over the place. And in that second image, it shows us that actually we, when we're out in the world, when we're on our front lines, that we have a potential to have a big influence on the world, because those red dots aren't just staying together, kind of huddled close together in a holy huddle. Instead, they're out in the world being the red dots, being that difference, sharing Jesus wherever they are in their lives. And today we're going to be thinking about how we, as red dots, need to stay red in a sea of grey dots. Basically, if we're going to be fruitful when we're scattered onto our front lines for the long distance, then we need to be faithful when we are gathered together. In order to be fruitful when we're scattered, when we're out there in the world, we need to be faithful when we gather together. And that's when we gather together in the building, or when we gather together in this way, when we're all joining together and we're hearing the Bible read and we're worshipping together and we're being together. Now, one of my favourite singer-songwriters goes by the name of Passenger. And during lockdown, he's been continuing to write and record songs. In fact, he's released a special album called Patchwork, and all the proceeds from this album, from its streaming, are going to the UK food banks. And as he's been writing these songs in lockdown, he's been writing about that experience that we've all been through in lots of different ways and how that feels. And one of the songs, he says this: 'Cause I'm fine and then I'm not. I'm spinning round and I can't stop. I can't do this alone. For time flies and then it slows down. I'm up and down like a yo-yo. I can't do it on my own.' And I thought the words of this song capture how many of us have been feeling during this season, that we've been feeling up sometimes and down at other times, that time has done strange things. Sometimes it seems to go really fast and the weeks go past quickly, and then other times it seems to be really slow. And when you think back to January this year, it can feel like years ago before we'd heard of COVID-19. But one thing that this song does acknowledge is that we need each other, that we can't do this on our own. And we're not meant to do life and faith on our own. The Bible has so much to say about how we need each other, about how our relationships as the people of God, that there are lots of passages to choose from. Hebrews 10 starts with God and not us. So it starts with the good news of Jesus Christ. Our lives are lived in response to what God has done for us through Christ. Essentially, God makes the first move and then we respond. So we gather as church to encourage one another, to remind one another about the full story of the gospel. We've been invited, the gospel story that we've been invited into, and that as a consequence to equip one another for our everyday lives, for our front lines. See, our gathered church, whether physical or online, isn't about escaping from the world out there, but rather preparing and encouraging each of us to live out our lives faithfully and fruitfully in the world, wherever we go. The point of the passage is that we need each other. What we practice together as church is what we live out in our everyday lives. As a church family, we need to help one another to hold on to this faith. There are many things that would tempt us to give up following Jesus, at least to grow cold in our faith. And the writer of Hebrews encourages us in three particular ways. First of all, he urges us to draw near to God. Now, in the Old Testament, that was only done by priests, and those priests that were set for that particular purpose. Whereas here, we see that it's open to everyone, that because of Jesus, the way is now opened for all to draw near to God. Verse 19, therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain, that is, his body, Christ's body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, that's Jesus, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from the guilty conscience and having our bodies washed with pure water. So this passage is saying that we can draw near to God because Jesus has made a way for us to do that through his death and resurrection. The second thing is that we have complete assurance. We have complete assurance of our faith. As we focus on Jesus, we discover who we are, and as a result of what he's done for us, our identity is secure. Because of who Jesus is, we can be secure in who we are if we focus on Jesus. And then thirdly, we experience the peace as we come with maybe things that weigh heavy on our hearts. We are renewed. We're reminded of our baptism vows, our bodies being washed pure with water. Through Jesus, we are made new. We are renewed. Verse 24 says, and let us consider how we may spur one another on towards love and good deeds. Spur one another on. Spur is a strong word here, and those who've translated the Bible into English chose this word because it conveys that sense of urgency and purpose. And of course, it comes from the sharp metal that horse riders would wear on their boots to make a horse go faster. It has this idea of inciting or provoking one another. It's a strange word when linked to love and good works. It's as though the writer's saying, we all need to give each other a kick up the backside, but do it in a sort of loving way. But the strength of it suggests just how important it is that we help one another to live out our faith on our front lines. It can be easy to grow weary of doing good. People can be ungrateful or even manipulative sometimes. And sometimes it feels like our best efforts to do the right thing and the good thing just seem to lead to no lasting change. It's easy to give up and to become frustrated or disillusioned And the writer of Hebrews recognized that we can help one another by not allowing each other to give up, to keep the challenge before us, to keep going. The passage this morning puts it directly. Don't give up meeting together. COVID-19 has given us a real challenge in how we meet together. But I've been really encouraged by how we've adapted and made the most of sort of this strange season where things are very different. But it's been great to see that people have been engaging with the services online, have been connecting on Zoom and making telephone calls to one another and staying connected and still being the church. And while we do miss how it used to be, we are adapting. In emphasising our scattered front lines, the places that we find ourselves when we're not gathered, we don't want to suggest that our coming together, our life together isn't important. When we gather, we're reminded of the core elements of our faith. This is the community that we belong to, our church family, that will help us remain faithful to our calling. This is the community that will affirm the significance of where we are in our Monday to Saturday life. Gathering together is vital. At services, in small groups and one-to-one. The gathered worship life of the church is where we teach, guide, challenge, equip, encourage and love one another. I'd like to finish by praying a commissioning prayer that prays for us as we live out our lives wherever we find ourselves. Let's pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for the gift of our church family. Lord, we commend one another to you on our different front lines. Lord, you've called us to and are with us in our homes, our workplaces, our schools, our communities. Wherever we are, whatever we do, and whoever we are, may your Holy Spirit guide us in all things so that we may do your will in the world, in the service of Jesus Christ and with great joy. Amen.